Wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I'm not going to do a scripture reading. The young people have read portions of the scripture they want to refer to, but our time is well past, so we want to keep it as short as possible. So we will just refer here, and as we go through, we'll read the different passages that we need to read. But we're turning to Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, and with our Bibles open before us, just let's unite together, please, at the throne of grace and prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. We thank Thee for Thy mercy, and we rejoice in our Saviour who came to be our Redeemer. And our Father, we'd ask Thee that Thou wouldst help us to look to Thee. We'd pray for Thy blessing. We'd ask that Thou wouldst come and meet us at the point of our need and speak through Thy word to our hearts just now. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, we've often been told about the three wise men at Christmas. At least that's what people say, there were three. The Bible doesn't say that. Sometimes even tradition supplies the names of Melchior, Balthasar and Caspar. But that's only a tradition. It is not in any way spoken of in the Word of God. But I want you to see that the Bible does say something about three wise women. And it speaks about their names. I'm sure maybe you've heard the old joke about if there had been three wise women instead of three wise men. They said they would have asked directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have been helping to deliver the baby. And they would have made a casserole when they came. But I want you to see these three wise women here in this portion of scripture. And of course the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ made such an impact on the history of the world. It is that that makes the difference in the lives of men and women. There are many great people in the world, but they don't make that much difference to you and me. But it is our reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ that will make the difference. It is that by which we'll be judged and that which our destiny will be determined by. So it is wise if we make much of him. And that's what these three wise women did in the Word of God. And I want us to look at these three wise men, women just for a few minutes at the end of our service. And I want to see the first wise woman, and her name is Elizabeth. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, and we are introduced to this woman. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, there are a number of possibilities for the meaning of her name. Three possibilities. God has sworn. Another is God gives abundance. Or a third possibility is that God gives fullness. Now, Elizabeth wanted fullness, but she just hadn't quite found it because she was barren and that left a deep hole in her life. But I want you to see the wisdom of this woman. And she was wise, first of all, in her piety. Now, look at verse 6. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So they were righteous before God. They walked in the commandments and ordinances of God. Now the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that is unblameable. The Bible speaks of our sins. So how does it say that this woman and this man were blameless? Well, certainly they had come to a knowledge of the Lord as their Saviour. They had drawn nigh to God, and righteousness, any righteousness that will stand before God, is a righteousness that has been given. We have no righteousness. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. So this woman had come to the Saviour. She worshipped the God of heaven, and it was that relationship that gave her the righteousness that is described here in this verse of Scripture. But look at the next verse, it says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Now, You would think that when they were blameless and when they served God, that they would have had a good name in the community. They would have been respected in the community, but that's not so. You know, it's not a big deal today if people don't have children. There are many people that don't have children, but in those days it was a big thing. And it was a big thing because it was counted as if it was a punishment for something, that you had sinned in some way. And you can imagine maybe the talk that was going on behind their backs about which one of them had committed this secret sin that nobody knew about. And so there was the talk behind their backs, and sometimes people can be cruel and unkind. And here were Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was barren and she was unfulfilled. And there was a lack of understanding in the community about them. But I want you to see that neither Zacharias nor Elizabeth blame God for their condition. They never abandoned their faith. They were wise enough to leave the difficulties in the hands of God. And God was going to undertake for their difficulties, because God sent an angel to appear to Zacharias and announce that Elizabeth would have a son who was going to be called John. Now, Zacharias didn't believe at first, but then he saw that this was true. And Zacharias and Elizabeth left all their difficulties in the hands of God, and God overruled and God undertook for them. There is their faith and their piety. They were content to leave their lives in the hands of Almighty God. Now, I wonder if you are willing to leave your hand, your heart and your life in the hands of Almighty God. I wonder if you've placed your heart and your life in the hand of God. Are you righteous before God? Have you the righteousness of Christ? Have you ever asked the Lord to take away your sin? There is her piety. She's wise in her piety. She's also wise in her perception. Turn on there to Luke chapter 1. And look at verses 39 to 41. It says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Now this is about 6 months later, and Elizabeth is having her baby. He's to be called John. But you notice that when the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary comes into the presence of Elizabeth, John leaps in his mother's womb, and we are told that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. And she begins to say some things, filled with the Holy Ghost. But here is the Lord speaking through Elizabeth. And you know, the Lord still speaks today, and we need to discern the voice and hear the voice of God speaking. Now, Elizabeth was perceptive enough to discern the voice and the way of God. She knew that God was working, and she knew that God was speaking. Oh, that God would come to us today, and that we might hear the voice of God, that we might know that God is speaking. Is God speaking to you today? Do you know that you need a Savior? You know that you need the Lord. Oh, that you might hear his voice, not the voice of the preacher, but the voice of Almighty God. She was wise in her perception. And then she's wise in her proclamations. Look at verses 42 to 44. It says, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And directly that the Savior comes into the presence of this woman, we read that she bursts into song. And what she says here is actually a song. It's interesting that only Luke records the songs that surround the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of those songs have been given Latin names way back. There is the Benedictus of Zacharias, the Nunc Dimittis of Simeon, There is the Magnificat of Mary. All these are songs. And Luke is not only a physician, not only is he a man of science, but Luke is a poet. And the poet's heart records the songs, these songs of joy that are made. And you notice what he sings, what she sings about. Elizabeth here sings, and she says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now, in Eastern Orthodoxy, in Roman Catholicism, they make a lot about the blessing upon Mary. And Mary was blessed. Mary was blessed. Blessed art thou among women. But the real heart of that text is, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. If we could put it like this, blessed art thou among women, because blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She was blessed because of Christ. She had joy in her life because of Christ. And she recognizes the special nature of Christ. Look at verse 43. She says, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She knows that this babe, not even born yet, but she knows that this babe is her Lord. She owns him as the King and Lord of her life. Her faith is in Christ. And she's wise enough to proclaim Christ and proclaim him as the Lord, the Messiah, the one who would be the suffering servant, the one who had come to die on the cross in the room and stead of people. She's wise in her proclamation. She's also wise in her pronouncement. Look at verse 45. She says, "And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord." Now, of course, the primary focus of that is Mary. But it doesn't exclude others. She doesn't mention Mary by name, and I think it's wider than that. Blessed is she that believed. Have you believed? Have you come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, what a thing it is to have at this Christmas time a faith in the Lord. This lady was wise in her faith. She had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was her Lord. He was her Savior. And I hope that you have faith like that. So there you have the wisdom of Elizabeth. Now let's come to the second wise woman here. I just watched the time here, but the second wise woman is Mary. And I want you to look at Mary for a few minutes here. Look at her wisdom. And I want you to see that she is wise in her attributes. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Look at verses 26 to 27. It says that and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And you notice that the angel Gabriel announces the birth, and he says, "Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And then you have the special news of the birth. And here is a woman who is highly favoured. But why is she highly favoured? Why is she highly favoured? She had a character that the Lord had chosen. Now, it wasn't her character that saved her. It was her faith. It was her faith in God. God had drawn her. It's obvious that this girl had a close relationship with God. And that's what made her highly favored. I wonder if it could be said the same of you today. Have you a close relationship with God? She is wise in her attributes. She is brought nigh to God. She has a close relationship with her God. She's also wise in her acquiescence. Look at verse 35. And it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, here was Mary. She was only a teenager at the time.
And I would imagine that there was fear. It says that she was troubled here in the text. It says in verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled and she was fearful. Here she is in the flower of her youth and her beauty. And here she is being told that she is going to have this child. Now that would frighten anybody. But I want you to see when she gets over the fright and the shock. Look at what she says in verse 38. It says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." There is her acquiescence. She is acquiescent in the will of God. She wants God to have his way in her life, no matter what that might mean. Now there again is real faith. You know, some of you have teenage children. And sometimes I hear about teenage children that it's very difficult for them to understand the preaching of the word. Or maybe they don't like coming to God's house because it's boring. And they think church is boring and so on. And they don't come to worship the way that they should. Otherwise, it wouldn't be boring. But listen, take a long, hard look at this young girl, Mary. Here is her reaction. "Oh, Mr. Angel, I'm too young to understand. I'll wait until I'm older, until I'm grown up." That's not what she says. "Oh, Mr. Angel, be it unto me according to what the angel says." No, that's not what she says. "Be it unto me according to what my parents say." No, that's not what she says. "Be it unto me according to what my friends say." That's what many teenagers would say. No, she doesn't say that. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And here is wisdom well beyond her years. She wants God's way to be done in her life. That's wisdom. And then she's wise in her adoration. Look at verses 46 and 47. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She blessed God, and she owned him as her Savior. Well, that's wisdom. That's wisdom when you meet the child and you come to know the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of places out in the mission field. And I think of the transformation of communities that have come to know the blessed child, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, out in Papua New Guinea, way back years ago, when the tribes made peace, One tribe would give one of their children to the other tribe, and the other tribe would give one of their children back. It was called the peace child. And the missionaries discovered about the peace child. And they said, that's a wonderful illustration of the gospel. And they got some of the Christians from the tribes that they were in the tribes to read that passage from Isaiah. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Have you met the peace child tonight? Do you know the peace child? Mary knew him, not just as her boy, but her Savior. There you have the second wise woman. Let's go to the third wise woman. I'm going to be very quick now because our time is gone. But the third wise woman is Anna. Now turn over to Luke chapter 2 and look at verses 36 and 37. And it speaks there of Anna. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Now, we don't know much about this dear lady, but she'd been married for 7 years and she'd been a widow for about 84 years. That probably means that she was about 106 here. And in those days, to be a widow was the worst of situations, particularly if you hadn't anybody to support you. You remember the widow who cast the mite into the treasury that the Lord Jesus had seen. And she had only two mites, she had hardly anything. The Lord said, that's all that she had. So a widow was a very poor creature in those days. But I want you to see, this was a widow indeed. She was a wise widow. And she was wise in her devotion. Being from the tribe of Asher, her home territory was way up in the north, but she had made her way down to Jerusalem, and we read that she departed not from the temple. She was always in the temple. She was always in the place of worship. And why had she done that? Why had she left home and come to the temple? Because she loved the Lord. Because she wanted to be in the place where the Lord was worshipped. She wanted to be in the place where the Lord was proclaimed. And in the place of sacrifice, where the blood was shed, which proclaimed and pointed forward to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And her devotion was no mere fancy, passing fancy. It says that she departed not. She never left the temple. She had a real deep dwelling love for the Savior. And she had been a widow for 84 years. And over all that time, she had a tremendous love, and that was what kept her going. She knew the meaning of David's wonderful words, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. And I hope today that there was within your heart awakened a desire for the Lord, the Savior. She is wise in her devotion. She is also wise in her discernment. Look at verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. Now, of course, the occasion here is the bringing of the Lord Jesus up to the temple. He was circumcised at 8 days of age and so on. And he's brought into the temple here. He's only a little child. And we read about Simeon, and he discerns that this is the Messiah. But Anna also, looking at the little baby. Now, many babies were brought into the temple. It was the tradition that every male child, after so many days, was brought to the temple to be circumcised. But by instinct, or probably by revelation, she knows that this is a special child. And it says she spake of him to all who looked for the redemption of Israel. She knew that this was the Redeemer. The one who would redeem his people. Who would buy them back from the slavery of sin. Who would set the captive free. Who would bring salvation. Not just another man. Not just another baby. But the Redeemer. My, it is wise. If you can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just as the babe who was born. Not just as a man. But as the Redeemer. The God-man. She's wise in her discernment. And then why Anna is wise in her declaration. Look at verse 38 again. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Israel. Tradition says that the tribe of Asher were noted for their beauty and for their talented women whose gifts qualified them for royal and high priestly marriage. But my, what gifts this lady from the tribe of Asher had. It says she spake of him. She spake of him. Why did she speak of him? Because she knew that this is the one who would be the Redeemer. And this is the one who would be the Savior. This is the one who would be the Master. And she spake of him. That's the job of the church, to speak of him. And I want to speak of him to you today. I want to direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed Redeemer he is. He came to save his people from their sin. Your sin is separated between you and your God. Your sin condemns you to a Christless eternity. But there is a Savior. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the one who is able to save. That's the good news. That's the good news that she proclaimed. And that's the good news that we proclaim to you today.
Oh, dear friend, here are three women, three wise women. One was old, very old. One was young. And one was middle-aged. There are the three faces of life. But they were wise, because they made much of the Savior and received him as their Redeemer. Are you wise today? Oh, that you might come to know that wisdom, that direction to the Lord Jesus Christ. May you come to him, know him as your Savior today. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.